Hey, Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that we love's undivided.
Yep.
Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Monday, January 22nd, 2024. And it's another Monday with Mitzi. I'm excited about that. Quickly, a recap of the announcements. We have concluded the second annual John Stadmiller Book Drive. Congratulations to KS in Wisconsin, winner of the Week 8 book, One Nation Under Israel. And we still have the quilt raffle happening. Donate $250 or more for your chance to win fabulous prizes, including the Confederate battle flag quilt, the RBN mug, T-shirt, business cards, bumper stickers. Great stuff. Great way to support the network. And so call 800-724-2719, extension 3, to participate. And the winner will be determined at the end of January. So we're coming to the end of that as well. Please support the network. Thank you to those who do. This network exists because of your support. As I like to say, we will never be the beneficiary of a Ford Foundation grant here. So thank you to everyone who supports the network. If you don't or you haven't in a while, please consider supporting the network. So back to Mondays with Mitzi. It's another Monday with Mitzi. Welcome back, my mom, Mitzi.
Thank you, Christopher. How the hell are you?
I'm fabulous. It's like I said earlier, you know, I think we broke 30 now today already. So when we're done, I'm going to break out the swim trunks and go make snow angels.
Well, it's already up to getting to be slush angels here.
Yeah. Fun stuff. Fun stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, we're talking about golf a little bit, but it's not just golf. For those who may be listening and thinking, who cares? What's all this golf stuff all about? It's not just golf. It's what we're talking about, the character. And obviously, you know, I would say it's the character that's traditionally associated with the game of golf, and also professionally, not just, you know, amateur, but professional golf. It's the thing that separates golf from everything else. Generally speaking. And of course there are exceptions, but you know, how many, if you watch a golf tournament, how many times do you see, you know, people with just, you know, sleeves of tattoos and things or stuff like that? You don't see that. You know, it lends itself to a particular type of person, I would say. And speaking of Nick Dunlap, the winner of the American Express over the weekend, the amateur sophomore at University of Alabama, he was homeschooled. And apparently very, very successful, very accomplished as a junior golfer. And something tells me, from just listening to his parents a little bit, you know, those nine core values of the first tee are probably something that he was acquainted with at home.
Well, I would imagine.
Yeah. From the LA Times article that I mentioned, Nick Dunlap becomes first amateur to win PGA Tour on PGA Tour since 1991. That's impressive, but there's more. He ended up with a two, from the article, he ended up with a two under 70 to finish at 29 under, which is pretty crazy. 29 under 259 and break the tournament scoring record.
My gosh.
As a 72-hole event, so that's also impressive. He's also the youngest winner in the event's history, and he became the youngest amateur to win on the tour since 1910. So now he's in high company, rarefied air already, and he's still an amateur. But, you know, continuing, Dunlap and Tiger Woods are the only golfers to win both the U.S. amateur and the U.S. junior amateur. So, you know, one thinks of Godwin's law, basically, you know, that you sooner or later, every, you know, the joke is as online discussion grows, as it grows longer, inevitably some comparison to the Nazis or Hitler approaches. And I think when you're talking golf these days, you know, I don't know what we would call it because it's not an eponymous law. It's attributed to Mike Godwin, but I think maybe we would call it Tiger's Law, says eventually all golf, you know, all golf discussion will eventually result in a Tiger Woods comparison. So it may have been Nicklaus's Law at one point, but I think it's Tiger's Law at this point.
Well, it continues to come to my mind on a regular basis. You can't help but think about it. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So another thing that was interesting, did you see this young man at all, or did you hear anything about this event?
No, I didn't.
I also thought it was interesting, speaking of the things we're talking about with, you know, relation to the nine core values of the first tee: honesty, integrity, sportsmanship, respect, perseverance, confidence, responsibility, courtesy, and judgment. And so you talked about your experience in the first tee and how these are themes for the week, basically, of a young person's experience in the first tee. Correct?
Correct.
Okay, so you asked me what I thought about judgment being the cap on all of that. I think it's interesting, you know, again, as I mentioned in the last hour, confidence is sandwiched in the middle, but there are things that there are values on either side of that that relate in, I would say, at least in some cases, more to others than oneself, and how one, you know, handles oneself in relation to others. And so I thought it was interesting when he was asked the obvious question. He gets a PGA Tour exemption for 2 years into 2026. If he were Nick Dunlap to turn pro today, he would have this win gives him an exemption on the tour for 2 years. He can play without having to qualify for 2 years. And so, you know, the obvious question everybody's asking is, so what does this do to your timetable for turning pro? And I saw him in a few interviews, and, you know, it's his first time in front of the cameras like this. So most of the answers that he gave to questions that were similar, the answers were very, they started to sound canned after a while, I think, because, you know, he's obviously on cloud nine at this point. And so the answers were just sort of automatic. But initially, the answers that he gave when they were first given and then reinforced later in subsequent questions, when it came to this question about his timetable for turning pro, it was interesting that when he was asked, you know, what does this do, or when are you thinking about turning pro, he said every time that I saw him that he wasn't sure, and it affects his decision to turn pro would affect a lot of people, including his teammates, his coach at University of Alabama, Jay Sewell, and family and lot of other people. So he just kept saying, I have to have a few conversations. I have to have several conversations before I decide. And I thought that was a great answer. I thought that was a testament to his maturity and character.
Well, it certainly isn't solipsistic or psilocybin, is it?
It sure isn't. It doesn't sound like it to me.
No, it's awesome.
Yeah.
It would be nice if we had more character building influences for younger people to look up to things like that.
And to that point, he was asked, during the press conference, after the winner's press conference, somebody asked him something along the lines of, you seem to carry yourself and conduct yourself with a tremendous amount of maturity at such a young age and with such little experience on this stage. And they asked him, to what do you attribute that? And I thought maybe he'd say his parents. He said, and it's been discussed that he's had an opportunity to play with some pretty high level players in his young career. And he said, probably the older guys that I've played with. And he basically credited them for, giving him some hard wisdom sometimes, how to conduct himself. If he was being goofy or whatever, those guys straightened about a little bit. So I think it speaks to what we're talking about.
Absolutely. And,
I mentioned the guys in his, the final group, Justin Thomas, Sam Burns, and Nick Dunlap. Those two guys are, I think, good role models. There are others. Jordan Spieth, I think, is fantastic. Scottie Scheffler. There are a lot, these guys that I don't, generally speaking, you wouldn't be disappointed to see as role models for young people.
Well, and what's interesting, we've talked in the past about the credibility that teenagers or senior citizens have with younger people. And here's another place where it's carrying over in a positive way in the golf world, that there is a respect for the knowledge and the experience that seasoned citizens have, and so that's pretty impressive too. There's just so much to be said about it.
Yeah, absolutely. The wisdom of experience and being taught from a young age that that's something that he should listen to and not be disdainful of, even if it's not, the Jack Burke Jr. crowd in this case. Even if it's just the players who are a little older than him, it's a mindset that I think you're speaking to.
Absolutely.
A respect for your elders that he obviously learned.
Yes.
And so again, maybe there's hope.
I think maybe there is hope.
Speaking of
all the glimmers I can get.
Yeah. Speaking of the LIV Golf controversy, I almost feel like the guys who jumped ship to join LIV, and that's an interesting discussion in and of itself. There are some articles floating around now. There's one over at EssentiallySports.com, for example, titled Amid Bleak LIV Golf Future, Jay Monahan's PGA Tour Gets a Dollar Heavy American Express Relief. And that was part of the LA Times article about Nick Dunlap winning also. Amex as an organization has committed, from this article, the other article, essentially sports article, on Friday, January 19, Josh Carpenter shared a post on X in which Stephen Squeri shared his thoughts on sponsoring the PGA Tour. We never gave it a second thought. We're committed to this tournament all the way through. The Amex CEO went on to add how the company intends to, quote, continue to invest and make the tour better. He also spoke about the longevity of the tour and stated the PGA Tour is never going away. You know, and whatever bones of contention we could raise, and I could think of a few, I think it speaks to those nine core values that we're talking to, you know, speaking to integrity, responsibility, judgment in particular in this case. But I think, you know, again, it's interesting that the introduction to the core values are honesty and integrity. And, you know, again, that there is a slow lead in to confidence. And then from there, back to responsibility, courtesy, judgment. It's interesting how confidence is tempered, and that's uncharacteristic in today's participation trophy era.
As is perseverance.
Yeah. Yeah. And responsibility. You know, there's a in the victim psychopathy culture, there's a severe responsibility deficit. Whose fault was it? Well, it obviously wasn't mine, so it had to be whoever the closest person I can blame is, or organization or whatever. Versus what Jocko Willink might call extreme ownership.
Yes.
Starts with me. What's my responsibility in this?
Absolutely. Well, you know, the hope of what a kid will walk away with, and, you know, it's like 7 to 18 years that the program, you know, is geared towards. Hopefully, when they walk away from the program, they're going to learn how to make proper introductions, managing emotions, resolving conflicts, setting up step-by-step goals, planning for the future, and appreciating diversity. That's kind of the hope of what a child will walk away with when they finish the program. And anyway, I'm not a I'm not a paid, like, you know,
spokesperson.
Spokesperson for it, but I believe in it that much. Yeah, I do.
I know you do. It sounds great. I think I want to join the first tee.
Well, I think you'd be a great coach.
No, I meant as a student. I want to learn those nine core values.
Maybe we can start a over 50 group for the first tee. How about that?
Yeah.
Wouldn't be a bad
sometimes
idea.
No, probably not. Sometimes I feel like I play more like Spalding from Caddyshack than Nick Dunlap. I don't know. Spalding. Grandpa, are you going to eat your fat? Spalding. Hey, I bet you were really something before electricity.
I think that's where the party should start and end on the golf course, is going to watch Caddyshack or Happy Gilmore or some of those other crazy movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Caddyshack is definitely in a league all its own for many, many reasons.
I think our family gatherings, I don't know very many of you and your siblings who can't pretty much quote about every line in the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, it's definitely in a league all its own.
Who knew?
Yeah. Something special. So, have we exhausted the golf stuff?
I don't think we'll ever exhaust it, but we might have exhausted other people.
Yeah, that's quite possible.
We could go on and on.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, the network is based in South Texas, so my assumption is that everyone listening just has a natural affection for the game of golf and the kind of character attributes that we've discussed. Anyway, we're headed into a break, folks. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around, and be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Welcome back. So we've talked about yellow snow and Yellowstone. We've talked about golf. We've gone so far as to include Tiger's Law, or, you know, reductio ad tigerum, or whatever the equivalent would be of Godwin's Law, and that kind of stuff. The character development that golf promotes, the First Tee organization in particular, and that I think that organization instills, and the game of golf too, sort of requires. It's interesting to listen to some of the pros. There are the interviews with guys like John Daly talking about playing with political figures and people like that. And as you said, I don't know who it was either, who said you can learn more about a person's character playing 18 holes of golf with them than vacationing with them for 2 weeks. But I think it's certainly true.
Well, you know, I have to look it up. I don't think I have that book anymore. But, you know, Robert Kiyosaki and Donald Trump wrote a book about business, being in business for yourself. And there's a whole chapter on golf. Mm-hmm. And I believe that's where I read that, is in that book, because they both, you know, Donald Trump is a accomplished golfer and Robert Kiyosaki is not, but they both got the same values out of the game of golf and doing business on the course and learning about people's character. I kind of think that's where I read it, but I might be wrong.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah. Very interesting.
I'm curious to know what your, there seems to be a huge movement, or whatever you want to call it, towards indoor golf centers these days and trying to make them as realistic as to being on the course as they can. And in fact, it's spilling over into people putting, you know, the old adage of the she shed thing. It seems like that they're doing he sheds of golf rooms or buildings on their properties. It's very fascinating to me. I know I've tried it. I've even played in a league on an indoor virtual course, and I can't get excited about it. I mean, I know it's at least a little bit of a alternative for the winters in the winter area, the Four Season area. But what do you think about that?
Like anything else, I mean, if you, to quote the late, great Neil Postman, technology giveth and technology also taketh. So, you know, he said we don't talk enough about what technology taketh. So if you change the environment or the ecosystem, obviously you're changing the nature of the thing. And I think that, you know, similarly, the golf ball itself, and I think a lot of the technology of the game is being dialed back. I mean, when I started playing the game, you may not know this, just kidding, you know, it wasn't that long ago. I guess it's been about 25 years, but doesn't seem like that long ago. I'm being facetious. You got your kids, including me, involved in the game of golf, and I appreciate that. You know, your mom, I was a very focused athlete in my younger years, and I always appreciated team sports, but from a young age, I wanted to sort of, you know, I was more focused, I think, at an early age than most young people are. I mean, at soccer practice in Spokane, Washington, I just remember, you know, thinking of the other kids when we were supposed to be running drills. I just remember standing in line to run drills and listening to the other boys my age and thinking, what are we all standing around gabbing like a bunch of hens for? Let's get to work. We're not here to gab like hens. We're here to work. Let's get to work. And, you know, as you know, that was the mindset that I took to these things. And so the individual sports, like wrestling in particular, appealed tremendously to me. But your mom said, what about golf? Basically, she said, you know, you should play golf. And I thought, I mean, that's for sissies. Why would you chase a little white ball around? Little did I know.
Little did you know.
So anyway, stick around, folks. We'll be right back after this short break.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names. Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian. And my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the Republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the Republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be a bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Welcome back. Bottom of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Monday with Mitzi, January 22nd, 2024. So to finish my answer, actually I have a clip, but I'll talk about the technology stuff for a second. But Dr. Dimitri Christakis did a great TED Talk back in 2011. It was part of the documentary Pseudology, I believe, which is a great documentary. But it was, his TED Talk was titled Media and Children. I mentioned this from time to time. I think, you know, honestly, whether intended, you know, whether intentional or otherwise, a lot of this stuff is sinister and has a deleterious effect. And I think it is an adulteration of the game itself. Technology and golf, you know, you talked about the technology-centered golf he shed or whatever, you know, people are calling it, where, you know, you get together indoors and do this simulation stuff. There's been talk. So, you know, I mentioned in the last segment that, you know, when you got us as kids, I mean, I was very intense about sports. Golf didn't appeal to me. It seemed I was into, you know, more contact type stuff. As you know, one of my brothers, I mean, there's the funny story about basketball. I have rocks for hands or bricks for hands or whatever. Not you know, great at basketball or football and things like that. If I would never make a great wide receiver. But there's the story about, you know, Spokane has the 3-on-3 basketball tournament, Hoop Fest, and one of your sons is a pretty accomplished basketball player. This is not that son. So he was just casually talking about how they're trying to put together their Hoop Fest team one year, many years ago. And not realizing what he'd said, that, you know, there was an opening on their team. They were looking for, you know, an alternate player. I said, well, you know, I'm available. And basically he gave me the Caddyshack line, you know, you're not good. And it was pretty hysterical. And I basically kept trying to beg my younger brother, no, I can play it. But the problem that I have is I'm like Dennis Rodman in the paint. I'm all elbows. And, you know, I remember times that we've played together, he and I, and, you know, if I'm covering him, eventually he gets frustrated and throws the ball and says, oh, come on. You know, basketball is not supposed to be a full contact sport. And I'm like, I don't understand the problem. What's the problem? We're just, that's how I play. So.
And I have to take my hat off to that particular son, because he has struggled with the golf situation. And I remember one of his first experiences on the driving range was to huck my one wood in the lake. And
that's my story. That's better if I tell it, because you were in the clubhouse and I was on the driving range with him. It was a water driving range. You can't have that kind of fun in a simulator. So this was the early days. Speaking of the technology, those were the persimmon days, and you had a favorite persimmon wood driver.
Yes.
And we were out, and those were, you know, the days when, you know, the petrified grips were not uncommon. And so this was a persimmon wood driver with a petrified grip, and you got to hold on to it pretty tightly, which does some weird things to your swing sometimes, because you can't have your hands loose enough to hold a ketchup packet, as Sam Snead would say, or a baby bird, depending on, you know, what kind of, some people say the bird was a hawk, meaning the Hogan, Ben Hogan. He's always had that baseball swing to a certain extent, and he can hit a boomerang slice like nobody's business when he really wants to. But he was getting more and more frustrated in that particular instance, and swinging harder and harder. And finally, and he was, I think he was 18 at the time. Finally, he swings and, you know, just trying to hit the ball and make it go straight, not really paying attention to the petrified grip. The club slips out of his hands and end over end, goes about 40 yards into the drink, the water driving range. And the funniest part of that whole story is this 18-year-old, you know, strapping young man turns and looks at me like a 6-year-old and goes, oh, mom's going to kill me. It was hysterical. I don't think I've ever laughed harder in my entire life. So, you know, back to the technology, golf, you know, no, I don't think any sport or game has benefited more from technological advancement. Those are the, you know, when you got us into golf, those were the days where the transition was just really beginning out of the persimmon wood era and the smaller blade irons. Everything was blade irons. And then all of a sudden, you know, we got the Nicklaus Golden Bear stuff, and then everybody was into golf. It sort of come full circle, I think. But all along the way, for the last 20 or 30 years, I would say the rumble has been getting louder and louder in the community of purists in particular, but that's been growing. The technology is not necessarily benefiting the game as much as we'd like to think. It's sort of a leveler. You know, when you have what they call a Volkswagen bus on the end of a stick, or a Volkswagen, a VW bug on the end of a stick as a driver instead of an old persimmon wood with a pea-sized sweet spot on it, there's definitely a difference. And so they've called technology the great leveler. The old balls were not like the new balls that almost all go straight, no matter what. Even if they say you can shape them, you can't do it the way that you could with the old balls. And a lot of the old balls weren't even round, or, you know, didn't have, you know, their center might have been off a little bit so that it spun a little funky or whatever, and you had to kind of try to figure that out. So, you know, seeing the accomplishments of some people, you know, when you hear the story of Jack Nicklaus and Tom Watson in the Duel of the Sun, for example, and the shot that Nicklaus hits out of the gorse, basically, it's much more impressive when you try to recreate those shots with that equipment. The old joke, you know, that if you're ever in a lightning storm, stand under your one iron, because not even God can hit a one iron. And, you know, Tom Watson, speaking of the Duel Under the Sun, Tom Watson used to tell the story about how he was hitting the ball so well that even he could hit a one iron finally, and no one could do that but Jack. So that, you know, that's different. And I think it speaks to those nine core values, you know, and all those guys, the Byron Nelsons, the Sam Sneeds, the Ben Hogans, the Lee Trevinos, you know, the stories you hear about, well, there was a bin of old clubs and I grabbed a five iron, you know, a used, worn out five iron with no grooves left on it, and just learned how to swing. Or, you know, guys like Seve Ballesteros. There's something about, speaking of the perseverance in this case, that forges something that you will never get in the, you know, in the simulator. And so we have all this technology, and there's this talk that now the golf ball is being rolled back because maybe we've gone too far. And, you know, maybe we should put a cap on all of this other stuff. And now we have all of this technology, the TrackMan and stuff like that. But you still have artists like Bubba Watson, for example, and, you know, Jordan Spieth, and people like that that play, you know, a game that harkens more to kind of a bygone era at this point. And it's interesting also. You know, the last thing I think I will say about this is one of the other things that you don't get with the, I think one of the things that the simulator and that environment that you talked about also reinforces is what they call target golf these days. Instead of course management and plotting your way around the course and a different game, if you listen to somebody like Jack Nicklaus talk about his wins and, you know, his second place finishes was also a tremendous accomplishment. I think in majors, I want to say he had like 39 second place finishes or something crazy like that. But you listen to him and he always knew what the number was, what the number had to be on Sunday. You know, if I shot 270, I knew I'd be right there or I'd win it. And to sort of back your way into that and manage your way around the course to do that, to mitigate your weaknesses and try to play to your strengths as much as you can, that's tremendous. Tiger did that, has done that. It's a different kind of game. The target golf thing where you're shooting at pins all the time, pin seeker golf, is a relatively new development. And I think it goes along with all of this linear technological development. If I just do this and I just do this, then, but you know, guys like Hogan said, you never shoot at pins. You don't shoot at the pin. So I think that whole technological environment kind of actually does a lot of harm. Maybe it's good for, you know, the winter months, or a tune-up or whatever, but there's just so much that's lost out on the course when you're not out there. And isn't that part of the joy of golf, is to be out in the natural environment and taking that all in?
Well, that's why I took it up.
Part of the magical, mystical appeal of golf, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I have to really think about when I go out to play a game of golf, whether it be 9 or 18 holes, you know, you take a moment and clear your mind and ask if you could, you know, you could be fully present in the moment, because there's so much to take in. You know, there's nature, and not only animals, but botanically speaking, you know, water features and all different sorts of things. I mean, if you go out there preoccupied, you should not go at all. And so you have to really, you know, be present. And that, yeah, I think, is a huge gift.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't do that in a simulator.
Yeah. Yeah, it's easy to be distracted. I want a hamburger. No, a cheeseburger. I want a hot dog. I want a milkshake. You'll get nothing and like it. Anyway. I can speak from personal experience. You know, if you show up and you can't clear the mechanism, so to speak, it's real easy. And that was one of the things that Nick Dunlap talked about. He, you know, one of the things that said, you know, what emotions and stuff were going through your mind on 18. He said that one of the things he tried to do was slow down. He kept trying to slow down all day, slow down, because these things go so fast. And, you know, we played one particular round I can think of this past year, you and I, and, you know, it was frustrating. I mean, when you feel like there's a group pushing you from behind, for example, on a course that you've never played, that's maybe you want to try to enjoy it, but it's also particularly difficult in some spots. It gets really difficult. It can be really easy, I think, to get a little excited, a little frustrated, and then all of a sudden 4.5 hours is gone, and you kind of feel like, well, can we do that? Can we do a do-over? Can we do that again?
Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it? How, mm-hmm, you know, you want to be out there and have the experience by yourself, but sometimes it gets tainted, and that's an unfortunate situation. You know, there's nothing worse than enjoying the moment and somebody hitting a ball into you and thinking it could have gone right into the back of your head. You know, it just again, back to that character building situation, and you find out what the character of the people behind you are all about.
Yeah. Yep.
How many times have we just pulled over and let them play through and thought, hopefully the next people aren't going to be as rude?
Yeah. Yeah, it's real interesting. You know, speaking of this character thing and the core values, I mean, yeah, you have to wonder. I mean, again, so, you know, LIV Golf is of a particular nature. The technological stuff, I think, promotes a similar kind of mindset, less concentration, less focus, less appreciation for the environment, less quiet, less solitude. And I think that's one of the things that, to me, really appeals. You know, some courses lend themselves to that more than others. But, you know, on some courses, you get out and you're sort of, you know, you're out in the woods a little bit, especially in the Northwest, I think.
Yeah, and you know, I just thought of something. You know, these indoor simulator courses that are popping up, and we're getting more and more of them here in my neck of the woods. None of them invite children in. You know, they're all 21 and older. Not even teenagers can go in to a certain time of the day. They're all 21 and over. And, you know, I actually would think more about going to those courses if I could go with my grandchildren, because I think that would be a great place for some of the younger ones to start out, even like, you know, some of the first T principles. But there isn't one that I could go to with my grandchildren. And I think part of that probably is the fact that sometimes children are so unruly and they're not being, you know, they're not being disciplined. It's too bad.
Mm-hmm. It really is. And, you know, in contrast to that, some of the names that I mentioned were at golf courses like Hogan and Nelson. And, you know, speaking of guys like Francis, we met, and, you know, even Trevino and Seve, a lot of those guys were just sort of hanging around and were caddies at a very young age.
Oh, and that's another thing, too. Yeah, caddying. Boy, that was a character-building thing for a lot of young men. I've known friends of mine who were caddies when they were young, and it shaped their lives. I know that one of my friends who recently passed away at the age of 80 had some terrible situations in his childhood with his family, and he actually found a caddying position on a golf course and was befriended by a judge. And not only did it shape his life, I mean, he went into the Merchant Marines and became an attorney, and, you know, who knows what course he would have taken if he hadn't have started out caddying with golf, and he pursued the game of golf his whole life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, this touches on a much deeper subject matter. If we go back in time, we see that everything wasn't planned and managed, you know, from the womb to, you know, from cradle to grave. That's a different discussion for a later date. I'd like to play the Dimitri Christakis excerpt, if we could, a couple minutes, and then get your thoughts.
So. We know from decades of research that too little stimulation early on is bad for brain development. I show you here two PET scans. Now, PET scans are measures of brain function. The brighter colors show more brain activity. And on the left is a PET scan of a normal kindergartner. And on the right is a PET scan of a child who was raised in a horribly neglected environment. This is actually a PET scan from a child who was raised in a Romanian orphanage and was profoundly neglected early in life. And you'll notice that there are areas of his brain that show no activity at all, that didn't develop as a result of too little stimulation. Now, this is a horrific example of too little stimulation and the untoward consequences of it. But the question we've had in our lab for some time is, what about too much? Is it actually possible to overstimulate the developing brain, or more appropriately, to inappropriately stimulate the developing brain in ways that are actually not beneficial, but harmful? And this is important because we're technologizing childhood today in a way that's unprecedented. In 1970, the average age at which children began to watch television regularly was 4 years, like this cute little girl here. And today, based on research that we've done, it's 4 months. It's not just how early they watch, but how much they watch. The typical child before the age of 5 is watching about 4.5 hours of TV a day. That represents as much as 40% of their waking hours. Which brings us to Baby Einstein. Now, many of you probably have not seen Baby Einstein, but I will show you a random 20-second clip from Baby Einstein Day on the Farm, and here it is. In that 20-second clip, there were 7 scene changes, about 1 every 3 seconds. It's about the most exhausting day on the farm since John Steinbeck's Grapes of Wrath. And of course, it's nothing like being on a real farm, right? Adults watching this find it discombobulating because your mind is trying to make a coherent narrative out of this. And there is no coherent narrative. It jumps all over the place. But babies aren't trying to make a coherent narrative out of it. They're not capable of doing that. It's all of that screen change, all of that stimulation that's keeping them actually engaged in the screen.
So, in simple terms, I think this, you know, the simulation environment that you're talking about caters to that in harmful ways that people don't realize. Your thoughts?
Well, it makes people lazy. I mean, you don't have to think, you know, and yeah. It just reminds me of kids opening Christmas presents when they're little and the present goes off to the side and they're having more fun with the box or the pots and pans in the kitchen, because there's an imagination that's happening there. You know, there's a story that's happening, and they don't, they're smart. They know, and they don't gravitate towards things that think for them. They want to create the story in their mind if we let them. But the problem is sometimes we think we're smarter than that and override it. And, I think it just makes us lazy is my short answer.
Yeah, I would agree. and you know, we heard, to sort of come full circle, I would say that someone like Nick Dunlap, the University of Alabama sophomore, winner of the American Express, formerly a Bob Hope Classic yesterday, I would guess that he had probably less television, you know, being homeschooled, probably less television and less video game time than most young people his age growing up.
I agree.
And as a result, guess what? It seems like it was probably good for him.
Well, I agree. And one of the reasons I didn't watch it, because you have to remind me, is I forget to turn on the TV.
Oops. Yeah, which isn't a bad thing.
Not altogether, but then I miss some good things. You know, it's a balance.
Sure. Generally speaking, though, I don't think you're worse for it. So probably better off in the vast majority of cases.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, we're at the end of today's Monday with Mitzi. You have
a
parting thought?
Oh, what a great time I've had. This just makes me want to get out my clubs.
Yeah.
Some snowballs.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna break out the shorts first and go make some snow angels. Whenever I say that, Julie says, "Send pictures, prove it, prove it."
Well, do it.
And that's it. That's the end. Thank you, Mom, for another fun Monday with Mitzi.
Talk to you soon.
All right. Folks, I hope it was infotaining or taining. Maybe even edifying. Who knows? Speaking to a bygone era that we should still have in America. That'll do it for today's broadcast. I hope it was fun for a Monday. Please pray for one another and support the network. And as always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC.
417-932-6419.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.